Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Precious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to learn from thy word. Even this morning, you spoke to us through thy servant so intimately. In our pain, in our sorrow, in our turbulence, it is so comforting to know that you are in control. The peace that passeth all understanding is comforting us, and we thank you for that. As we are with the word now, we pray that your presence may be with us. Help us to understand thy word according to the fullness of the Spirit, for that we commit each and everyone to the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord, for listening our prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray. All right, we are continuing our study, Salvation by the Grace of God. Since we had a small break, I want to take a minute to recap what we have done so far. In our first session, we are talking about the greatness of salvation from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Our salvation is so great, it is because we found four reasons from there. Number one, we have a great Savior. Number two, the new covenant has a greater judgment. Number three, our salvation is so great, it is because the new covenant provided by triune God, whereas the old covenant handed over by angels. Number four, the story of redemption, that is New Testament, we got it in the form of manuscript. Because of these four reasons, our salvation is so great. That's what we found from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And after that last session, we were looking into First Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the work of triune God in the process of salvation. Even this morning, same passage, same topic, I wanted to read that one more time. First Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this portion. Mainly we were focusing on verse 2, and also you can see that three words are highlighted there. These three words are the work of triune God in the process of salvation. Number one, God the Father elected us. Elected us according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Number two, sanctification of the Spirit. Number three, sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. Out of these three, we have gone through the first one, and today we are going to talk about the sanctification of the Spirit. But before we get there, I want to take a couple of minutes to revisit the first one, the election of God. In case if anybody was absent, I wanted to just go through that in just a couple of minutes. Election of God. God elected us according to the sovereign plan and purpose of God. Romans chapter 9, we read that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. It is not because Jacob was done anything good. It is not because Jacob was lovable. It is because of the mercy of God, and it is because of the compassion of God. And election is not according to the worldly standard. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God elected foolish, weak, low, and despised, so that when I come to the presence of God, I have nothing to boast. All I can say that it is because of the mercy of God, and it is because of the compassion of God. And also we can see one more word there, foreknowledge. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Foreknowledge, foreknow, beforeknow. What is the meaning of this word? Meaning of this word is misunderstood among the believers, especially in the charismatic circle. We can see that this word misunderstood. We can see that that word is misunderstood among the believers. What is the meaning of that word? Is it something like God's ability to know ahead of time? No, that's not the meaning. God looked into the history ahead and found that this person will take a decision to accept the Lord. On the basis of that decision, God elected that person. Is that how it is? You know what is the danger of that? Who is the decision maker here? I am the decision maker. Who should get the credit? I should get the credit, right? When I get to the other shore, I can say that, Lord, you came down very good. You died on the cross of Calvary. That's even better. But do you know how I came here? I took the decision. I should get the credit. This is dangerous. This is wrong. Then what's the meaning of that? The meaning of that word, when we come to this kind of a situation, how do we deal with that? There are many ways to do that. We can look into the root meaning of that to see the meaning of that word is prognosko, foreordained. It is a deliberate appointment. And we can see that that word used many places in the scripture. Let's go through that. Some of that is here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. It was a deliberate appointment. Prognosko. One more, concerning our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This is, we know that Peter, this is a message of Peter. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Definite plan and purpose of God. And one more, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. In love, he predestined us. In love, he predestined us. When we go through all these verses, we can see that it was a definite appointment. It was a purposeful appointment. That's what we can see here. Let's get into today's portion, sanctification of the Spirit. Let's read the verse 2 one more time. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit. Because of this word sanctification, it may be a little confusing at first. It is because if you are a serious Bible student, you may think that, what is this? Where is that going to fit? It is because you must have heard about similar expression like this, such as positional sanctification, practical sanctification, progressive sanctification, and out of all this, where is this going to come? I wanted to give you a heads up right in the beginning itself that this is not something we have discussed on the first day. Do you remember the first day? Do you remember this slide? I said, I'm going to bring this on third day. It is because you can see the word sanctification there. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. We studied this earlier. In these three words, we can see the grace of God. Verse 11 talks about the saving grace. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Saving grace. Whereas, verse 12 talks about the teaching grace. Teaching grace. The grace of God teaches us every day of our life. For what? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, we read that, beloved, we are God's children now. And we know that when our Savior appears, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. It is called glorification. We are growing towards that glorification. It doesn't happen overnight. It is slowly happening and steadily happening. And as we are growing towards that glorification, the grace of God teaches us every day of our life. That is called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. Probably we must have heard about this quite a lot, but we are not talking about that. We are not talking about that. Then what are we talking about? Let's look into that verse one more time. We can see three words highlighted here. As I said earlier, these three words are work of triune God in the process of salvation. All right. I'm going to ask you a question here. Number one, God elected us. God the Father elected us. Number two, sanctification of the Spirit. Number three, sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. One, two, three. Out of these three steps, when are we getting the remission of sins? Step number one, two, or three. When are we getting the remission of sins? When are we getting the remission of sins? Number one, two, or three? When is that? Third one. Sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. The order here is, it is very, very important. Why is it important? You can see that other places also same order. Let me bring that here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. There also we can see these three things, and we can see the order there. We ought to give thanks always. We ought to give thanks always. Why? There are three reasons. Number one, God chose you. Election of God. God chose you. Number two, sanctification of the Spirit. Number three, belief in the truth, that is sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we'll talk about that next week. See, if you look into that, the order here, and 1 Peter chapter 1, the order here is also same, exactly same. What that means is, the order here is very, very important. Or in other words, sanctification of the Spirit is happening before belief in the truth, before remission of sins. Let me explain that a little more specifically. God elected someone doesn't mean that the person is saved. Being elected and being saved are two different things. It is a transformation of a decree into reality. An eternal fact becomes history through sanctification of the Spirit. We are elected in the eternity past, and after our birth, up until certain point of time, small span of time, whatever it is, maybe 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, whatever it is, that small span of time, we are part of unredeemed group of people. Hostile in mind, evildoers, we are part of that unredeemed group of people. At one point of time, Holy Spirit came and separated us, set apart from darkness to marvelous light. This is called sanctification of the Spirit. Separated us from darkness to marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let me put it in a simple term. In order to bring a sinner to the Savior, whatever the Spirit is doing, called sanctification of the Spirit. Those who are being elected, the Holy Spirit separates them, leads them to the gospel, and convicts their heart about the need of a Savior. Prepare the opportunity, every opportunity to hear the gospel. Prepare their heart, convict their heart that he is a sinner. Lead that person to the Savior. Prepare him to call Jesus as the Savior. This is called sanctification of the Spirit. Based on this explanation, the grace of God will look like this. The grace of God, then God elect someone, then after that sanctification of the Spirit is happening. The Holy Spirit will come and separate that person from whatever situations they are. Based on that, that person will come to the saving knowledge, that is called justification. Then the sanctification will start, that is called progressive sanctification. Then every day, grace of God will teach us towards the glorification. I know that there are many, many questions can come along with us. What will happen to a person, those who are not elected? Well, I want to say, even if they hear the gospel, they will not hear it. That is the truth. We know that there are many, many radio stations and TV stations. Some radio stations broadcast 24/7, fully dedicated for gospel. Thousands of people are hearing the gospel, but not everyone coming to the saving knowledge. You know why? Hearing, not everyone hearing. Even we can see that expression in the book of Matthew. When we come to the book of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to them in parable. For the first parable, we know that parable of the sower. Chapter 13. parable of the sower, chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus is saying that this is why I speak to them in parables. Why? Because hearing, they do not hear. Hearing, they do not hear. Because their ears are uncircumcised. They cannot listen. They cannot listen to the word of the Lord. They don't find any pleasure in that. They will hear with a strong prejudice. They will hear only what they want to hear. They don't hear the truth. They will reject that. Hearing, they do not hear. That is what the fact is. When we come to the end of that parable, you can see the yield there. Even though the soil is good soil, what is the yield? 100, 60, 30. It is coming down. Coming down. The first century, we know that one preaching brought 3,000 people to the church. But we know nowadays what is happening. It came down drastically. The yield is coming down, though the soil is a good soil. But look at the expression there. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. We can see this expression many times in New Testament. I have got some of that here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. Pretty much same expression. But if you notice that, first two references are outside the church period. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, and Revelation chapter 13, verse 9. These two are outside the church period. What does that mean? We know that the official inauguration of the church is happening in Acts chapter 2. The first one is before that. And when we come to Revelation chapter 4, the church has taken up. The second one is after that, 13 verse 9. If you notice first two, outside the church period, you don't see the word Spirit there. But when we come to Revelation chapter 2, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. What the Spirit says. In this church period, church era, Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. In fact, we can see that this expression in Revelation 7 times. Not only to the church. Those who are coming to the church. Those who are going to add to the church. A sinner who is going to add to the church. Holy Spirit is speaking to them. That is what the truth is. Because Gospel of John chapter 6 verse 8, we read like this. I will send a comforter, helper. When he comes, when Holy Spirit comes, he convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And also we read that he will bear witness about me. He will point towards the cross. He will point towards the Savior. That is the work of Holy Spirit. That is the reason why after the tract distribution or outreach ministry, we pray for those who receive the literature. What do we pray? When they receive the literature, when they read that, may the Holy Spirit work in their heart, sanctify their heart, separate their heart, so that he may come to the saving knowledge of God. Because naturally, we don't have any inclination, we don't have any interest towards God. That is a foolishness for us. It is because of the depravity of human being. He don't have any interest towards the God. If that kind of a person turn towards God, meaning there is only one and only one reason, that is sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. I wanted to see the meaning of the word sanctification, to set apart, set apart. Colossians chapter 1 verse 21, we read like this. Who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We were alienated. We were hostile in mind. We were evildoers. Whatever situations we were in, from there, set apart. Set apart. That's what the meaning of sanctification. I think I need to bring a small illustration here to explain. We know that when we come to the Old Testament pages, I wanted to bring three servants here. Number one, servant of Abraham. When we say servant of Abraham, our mind will go to Genesis chapter 24. But when we read Genesis chapter 24, you don't even see his name. But later down the road, we can see his name. What is his name? Eliezer. Servant of Abraham, Eliezer. Number two, servant of Boaz. Ruth chapter 2. Number three, servant of King Ahasuerus, book of Esther. All right. So number one, servant of Abraham. Eliezer, servant of Abraham, going out to find a bride for Isaac. Going out. Number two, servant of Boaz. The servant is introducing Ruth to Boaz. Introducing. Going out. Introducing. When we come to the book of Esther, we can see that servant is preparing to stand in the presence of king. Preparing. So, going out, introducing, preparing. These are the characteristics we can see in the work of Holy Spirit. I wanted to go a little more further on the first one. Eliezer. We can see that he's going out to find a bride for Isaac. As he's going, he found Rebecca. Even before reaching home, he found Rebecca and explained the situation. She got convinced, very well convinced. I want to say thoroughly convinced. Because next day we can see that she's going with Elias. You know, when we read that portion, it is very, very interesting. Her brother and mother asked her, can you wait for 10 more days? 10 more days. She said, I'm going. Oh, what kind of a conviction is that? I'm going. Just imagine, Rebecca is your daughter. How do you respond to that? Rebecca, do you know anything about Isaac? Other than you heard from Eliezer? I'm going. Okay, you're going 500 miles away from here. What if Eliezer is a fraud? How do you know that? I'm going. Oh, what kind of a conviction is that? You know, when I say this, those who are born and brought up in Christian family may not fully understand the depth of that. Those who are coming from Hindu background and other background, they may know a little more better. You know why? They are entangled with many things. Their family, their culture, their traditions, and many things around there. But they, when they see the Savior, when they hear the gospel, when they see the beauty and majesty of risen Savior, if someone say that, he's enough for me more than anything, he is lovely altogether. You know what is the meaning of that? It is because of the sanctification. Without the help of Holy Spirit, no one can come to the saving knowledge of God. I wanted to bring one more portion here. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. We know this conversation, very, very familiar. Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus was a very significant person among the Jewish community. And he came to Jesus because he wanted to know more about Jesus. Jesus said, straightforward, you must be born again. There is no other way. You must be born again. He got really confused. How is that possible? What are you talking about? Jesus explained that, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. One is born of water and spirit. We know what is water. I don't have to explain that. What is water? Word of God. Water and spirit. Very, very profound. You know, later down the road, we can see that he again got confused. When we come to verse 10, Jesus is asking a question. Are you the teacher of Israel? What is the meaning of that? A teacher should be a good student. Is that correct? A teacher should be a good student. You are a teacher of Israel. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Teacher of what? Teacher of Israel. How is he supposed to know the New Testament principles? What that means is, this profound truth is mentioned somewhere in Old Testament. Where is that? Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Let me read that for you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. You know, this is word of God. This is word of God. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. Profound truth is mentioned in the Old Testament. This is what Jesus is referring to. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, no one can come to the saving knowledge of God. I have got my time. Can I take 2 more minutes? Is that okay? 2 more minutes. I wanted to show you one more word from that word. Obedience. Obedience. God elected someone, and Holy Spirit separates that person, given ability to hear the gospel, convicts their heart. When it comes to a stage of obedience, if that word is not there, this may not be complete. This is our responsibility. When we hear the gospel, what should we do? We need to yield to that, obey to that. That's called obedience. God kept one and only one condition for salvation. That is obedience. That is obedience. Let me ask you a question. Is that reasonable? Is that a fair condition? I think absolutely it is fair. You know why? When we go back to Garden of Eden, sin entered into the world because of what? Because of disobedience. Disobedience. In order to reverse that, there is only one and only way. That is obedience. That is obedience. That is the reason why when we read 1 Peter, we can see this expression repeatedly. Let me read that for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of the former ignorance. As obedient children, those who accept Jesus as their personal Savior, they all are obedient children. Praise the Lord. And we can see this expression many other places also. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 9. He becomes the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Obey Him. God kept one and only one condition, that is obedience, faith. When we, that is the way we become children of God. Next week, if God willing, I'll be taking the last portion of this session, sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. One of my excited questions. We'll talk about that next week, and we are going to pray now. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Gracious God, our heavenly loving Father, eternal God, we thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity to learn from the holy, precious word, to study, to cherish, to walk close with you, to draw near to thee. What a profound truth we have gone through this morning. Thank you. Thank you for the word. Help us to understand this word more and more in the days to come. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you that you elected us even before the foundation of the world. And you separated us, sanctified us, and come to a stage of obedience. And now we are children of God. Praise be His name. Praise the Lord. Help us to live a life worthy of thy call. Thank you for this time together. As we depart from here, we pray that your presence may be with us. Continue to bless us. Watch over and protect us. Thank you, Lord, for listening to your prayers. In Jesus Christ's precious name, we pray.